And this is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Our time is now, que viva Puerto Rico libre. In accordance with the Puerto Rican crisis, El Frente and affiliated organizations call for the dismantling of the corrupt government in Puerto Rico and the start of the decolonization process on the island. Chanting Our Time Is Now, que viva Puerto Rico libre, hundreds marched to the United Nations to ask the United Nations to invoke UN Resolution 1514 of Article 15 and initiate the self-determination decolonization process to achieve Puerto Rican independence. And now we go to the rally at the UN. Que viva Puerto Rico libre, with members of El Frente Independentista Boricua, including former political prisoner Oscar Lopez Rivera and Alicia and Lucy Rodriguez.
Con la compañera Lorraine Liriano. Aquí les dejo con Lorraine.
El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. Call to action on Puerto Rico. I'd like to thank our brothers and sisters from Zimbabwe for joining us, because many of the issues that face Latin Americans, Puerto Ricans, are the same issues that affect our brothers and sisters in many of the African nations. One of them is taking of the resources by billionaires. We need to confront this issue. We're not going to allow our natural resources to be exploited. Right now, they are looking to rezone the entire island. They're looking to exile us from our lands. We know what that looks like. 1830, the Indian Removal Act drove the Cheyenne and other nations off of their land. We cannot believe their words. We must unite and we must free, just like Brother Malcolm said, by any means necessary. We respect the right of our people to express and to manifest out in the street and all forms of struggle. We are in war. The United States is at war with us. They have closed thousands of schools, taken and appropriated certain areas, forced thousands to exile from Puerto Rico. My grandmother came here in the 1930s, exiled. So when people tell me, why do you say you're exiled? Yo estoy exiliada. Porque mi patria es Puerto Rico. Yo soy puertorriqueña. Many of us feel that way. That is our home. It is all of our responsibility to free our nation. We need to be in the street. We need to support. Se acabaron las promesas. We need to support the people that are fighting in the front lines of Puerto Rico. We need to be there with them. We need to give them financial support. We are the nation of Puerto Rico. We cannot wait for the United Nations to sit down in a meeting and give us our freedom. We need to fight for our freedom. We are 5 million Puerto Ricans in this country. Get involved in protests to go to Puerto Rico. Give money to grassroots organizations. And if you can, return and buy land in your country. Do not let our country be sold. Puerto Rico is not for sale. Puerto Rico no se vende. Puerto Rico se defiende. Puerto Rico no se vende.
Puerto Rico se defiende.
Puerto Rico no se vende.
Puerto Rico se defiende.
He's the longest held political prisoner of Puerto Rico. We worked so hard to pressure the USA to free him. And after 36 years, Oscar Lopez Rivera marched with us today and he's here to speak to you.
Oscar, seguro, a los Yankees le diste duro.
Oscar, seguro, a los Yankees le diste duro.
A todas y a todos, good afternoon to everyone. There's only one struggle. Our struggle will never end until the day that the world will be a more just and better one. Puerto Rico will definitely be an example of what it is to struggle, because we have been struggling for over 200 years against Spanish colonialism, against U.S. colonialism. During the week that we were struggling in Puerto Rico to get rid of one governor who had never been a governor, and there were beautiful young people. They were saying, somos muchos y no tenemos miedo. And I would like to hear everyone here say, somos muchos y no tenemos miedo.
Somos más y no tenemos miedo. Somos más y no tenemos miedo. Somos más y no tenemos miedo. Somos más
y no tenemos miedo. The colonizer is good in instilling fear in all of us. One of the reasons that we face in Puerto Rico such a prolonged colonization is because Puerto Ricans were instilled fear in them. And I'm saying to the, especially to the Puerto Rican young people, have faith in yourself, in your power, in that power of love that is within our hearts. You can transcend fear. We can transcend anything. We can be victorious. We can have an independent and sovereign Puerto Rican nation. That nation will be a garden of Eden in the Caribbean for all freedom and liberty and justice-loving people, the land for everybody who loves justice and freedom, where imperialism can never, never, never exist. Discrimination will never, never exist. Where we will feel the pain of the other whenever that other is in pain, where we will not turn our backs to any injustice, where we will definitely defend our homeland. Puerto Rico has shown us weeks ago that we can definitely use our own indignation, use our power of love, and we can achieve any goal that we set forth. Bear in mind, imperialism will never stop trying to destroy everything that is against it. We have in Cuba right now an embargo on the diesel, trying to stop Cuba from moving forward. And we have the obligation to give support to Cuba. We can defeat imperialism. We can also think of Venezuela. And Venezuela is under attack. That role that the United States government plays in Venezuela today is the most painful thing and the one that causes the problems inside Venezuela. We have to give support to Venezuela. We have to also give support to Nicaragua. We have to give support to Bolivia because Evo is under attack. A week ago, Rafael Correa, the former president of Ecuador, he has to live in a foreign country because if he comes back to Ecuador, he will be put in prison. That system of putting people in prison, we can see it in Brazil, in Argentina, in Chile, all over. So we have to be supportive of everyone who defends freedom and justice. Let's move forward. Let's not have fear in our hearts. We have to have the power of love in order to defeat imperialism. All power to the people. All power to the people. We are all one. We will win.
Somos más y no tenemos miedo. Somos más y no tenemos miedo.
¡Que viva Puerto Rico libre!
¡Que viva!
Our cultural warrior, we have Fernandito Ferrer.
This is a new song that just came out at the new Oscar López Rivera tribute album from Claridad.
Supe que moriría tal vez, que no tendría salvación, que mi cruzada del mar no encontraría perdón, mas iría la luz de aquel santo brillar, pues mi religión es de justicia y verdad. No me dejaré salir, no me dejan claudicar, no mataré la ilusión de ver todo cambiar. Donde faltaré el amor que me trajo hasta aquí, no abandonaré mi fe, no me dejaré salir. Si di mi ser, si di mi sol y di mi tiempo, si di mi ser, di mi dolor y di mi aliento, yo he dado mi vida. Por esto nunca me arrepentí de vivir y así haberlo hecho. Y así haberlo hecho. Oh.
arrepentiré de mí. Y es que a él lo he hecho.
So what I'm particularly interested in is how you assess the conditions on the island, actually the conditions that people are living in, whether it's under PROMESA, whether it's under the junta, how we are to understand the fact that they did depose a governor, what that really means for the political stage towards independence.
Because of freedom, people are not that fearful in expressing themselves. They see that there's a common pain. It's not a movement. It's so nationwide that empowers people. And that march that took place in July was spontaneous, sent out through Facebook and Twitter, coming together and denouncing Rosselló and demanding his resignation. When people got there, having goosebumps and seeing that it was a huge amount of people. It had never taken place. People found their voice. It was such a spiritual awakening, a national awakening in people. They wanted to be there. Nothing was going to stop them. It was just a coming together and looking in the eyes of others and saying, yes, this is affecting all of us, and this is unacceptable.
Does it also indicate that there is a growing consciousness about the destructiveness of the role of the U.S. in relationship to Puerto Rico, the terribly exploitative relationship? So does that immediate consciousness extend to saying that we have no self-determination? We are used and misused and must have more of a role in determining what our system, what our fates look like.
That takes place on the heels, you know, meaning of Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Maria. Ended up happening is that everyone was affected. What determined that human pain and the loss of so many lives was an infrastructure that broke down. I mean, Hurricane Maria made it clear how vulnerable we are to corruption and the ties this corrupt government has with Wall Street and Congress. People felt it at a personal level. If it was the elders, you're talking about the people who are experiencing a potential loss of some of their pension, who is experiencing the exodus of doctors, nurses, and you have mothers, you know what I mean, who have needs because they have children, special education, it's not there. The university students, they struggled back in 2010 to prevent the reduction of the university programs. Nobody's left untouched.
The kind of work you are doing on the island and the activity before the hurricane that has been led by the students, the teachers who have been fighting against the closing of the schools, do you see an opportunity to coalesce into a movement that is more demonstratively leaning towards independence? Is there an opening for a more politicized expression such as the one that both of you gave years of your lives for and caused you to become political prisoners?
Yeah. The massive movement of people in Puerto Rico in July of this year, that was a response. It was Maria and it was the Junta PROMESA, but Maria unmasked what was happening on the island, that people were already heavily abused. People were losing jobs, the schools were closing, the chats, that the governor and his circle of friends, which were really his friends, had political positions in the government. They were making millions of dollars based on contracts that they themselves worked out. They were there to gain. While they were in government, they would reap millions of dollars, and then their term in office would end and they'd leave the country with millions of dollars. They weren't being arrested for this corruption. It's the ultimate colonial situation that people, they were taken to a level of saying, well, we have nothing to lose here. We've lost everything but our fear. We don't care if you come with your gas, with your batons, if you're going to arrest us. You know, we're tired. You've taken everything else. But no, we're going to reclaim our power. And you made fun of our dead in Maria, because that's what the chats exposed. People said, enough already. We want, you know, we're going to defend our dignity and, you know, just get out. And then it's not only the governor get out, but the junta out. We're going to determine our own reality. But I know that the governor is out. But there are some major changes that need to happen on the island. But one very, very good thing is that 500,000 people on the street, and it doesn't include the people in the United States and in other parts of the globe. Something very visceral happened. A number of us have talked about being very happy with the youth. It was the youth in the streets and the women, and it wasn't the political parties. It was a movement of people with issues that affect people profoundly. If this continues, because now people know, you don't have to be afraid, because 500,000 people on the street, you don't have to be afraid. Let's see what happens. We do need to end colonialism, because what has happened in Puerto Rico is the root cause is colonialism, and it has, in 100 and so many years, it's leading to the destruction of Puerto Rico.
What are the people doing? An example, when Maria does take place and people are without electricity and they're without water, it's very difficult to stand in line to get basic essentials, because when you would go to the supermarket, people would be there for hours just to buy milk, to buy staples for family, 5, 6, 7 hours to fill up your gas tank. People began to say, okay, what are we going to do? The infrastructure has already collapsed. And people found creative ways to subsist. They began to say there is a power in the people and there is a power in the local community, which didn't take place in the past. There was a concern to what was happening to your neighbors, thing of wanting to share your food, your water, what you're webbing there.
So what your
community.
You're suggesting that the building of community, people sustaining each other, 500,000 people on the street, are the necessary ingredients to the people to feel empowered to move towards coalescing around their own system of government.
Yes. Being creative at that particular level. Capitalism doesn't want that. Capitalism wants them in the plazas, in the shopping malls, and buying and buying and getting in debt and debt. And when you find a level of behavior changing, you start going back to what probably our parents did back in the 50s and the 60s when they immigrated, and it was this comay, compay, you know, what do you need? It's extremely powerful because it begins to work toward bringing people together. Just not in a physical realm, it's also in a spiritual realm. This thing of connecting and that you feel part of a group, that's powerful.
Yeah. I believe that the methods of struggle are changing. They're very powerful when it's people-oriented. When people are clear about the things that they need in life to be healthy, to be happy, when they start looking for their own alternatives to the dominant structure, it's still happening, but that's being figured out. And because of the state of the colonial reality in Puerto Rico, people have no other alternative but to say, you know what, we're going to do for ourselves now. And yes, the question of removing the United States. But meanwhile, people got to eat. People got to take care of their health, the education. I think there's some really interesting times right now. And we have to keep feeding that. People need to, they can't lose that momentum, okay, because that was very powerful.
I'm interested in this wonderful array of elders we have here today, the political prisoners who've given hundreds of years, all told, of their lives to the struggle for independence, to the very things that are at the root of independence, which is a sense of self-determination, of democracy, and being able to exist. On the island itself, is there a coalescing of all of you incredibly powerful sheroes and heroes of the independence movement that is able to lend to the people's struggle moving forward?
If you're going to ask me that question, I would have to say on a horizontal level. Community, I don't think one sticks out further than the other. We're all in this together. I have a lot of respect for the creativity of the Puerto Rican people. They demonstrate it day after day. I find myself no more, no less than the woman, the gentleman, or the child that is looking to develop something that's on a communal level, whether it's saying, let's start growing our own food at a community level. Myself being a potter, Taller Guaguare is a project that I've been involved in that takes place because when I was in federal prison in the mid-90s, clay was brought into the recreation program. I understood the therapeutic quality of working with clay. It also was a way to connect to my ancestral roots. The Taino Indians worked the clay. They extracted it from the soil. That rewires the brain. It's working with the hands. It's not going to a store and purchasing your cups and your bowls. It's something that you make. That empowers one. So for the past 6.5 years, I've been teaching in the town that I live in, Calle. They have what's called a Bellas Artes. It's almost like a school of fine arts where they teach music, whether it's the violin, dancing salsa, painting. There's been a pottery class. It's free of charge. So the opportunity to have this in the town of Calle with, you know, everything that we have lived, you know, whether it was behind prison bars, whether it was the rights of women, it all comes out with that dancing with the clay. It's the importance of bringing craft into a community to deal with another dimension of who we are, and that is ourself and our relationship to the earth and our relationship with others.
There's a beauty and a power in it. I must ask, as you have this magnificent, both of you, pins of Loleta Lebron, 100 years of the struggle, the sacrifice, the Mujeres, Lolita, what can you tell us about the celebration of the recognition of the efforts of Sister Loleta Lebron?
When I was asked to speak today, one of the things that I shared is that there are many Lolitas throughout different generations, and while women have done incredible work, incredible sacrifices, for the most part, a lot of that work is invisible. As women, we have work to do to end that. I'm not going to say it's 100% invisible work, no, but a significant part of that work is invisible. And yet we are like the motor force. I believe women, a motor force for life at many, many levels. So what is, I mean, it's 2019. And still to this day, even in the plaza, you still see that. Well, hey, get it. We, you know, without us, I don't think the work or life would get too far.
I shared up on stage that of all the political men and women, you know, political prisoners, why did they have to muzzle a woman? Why did they muzzle a woman? And I remember during our early incarceration, officers, those guards, those police officers, they thought that the women were the recreational tools of the men. At that stage, underestimating the fact that we as women can be as articulate and brave to confront a system and to say that we were not going to allow ourselves to become invisible, and we had to act out because of the Lolitas and because of the Isabel Rosados and because, in our case with Puerto Ricans, our mother, yes, Doña Josefina, who major part of, for the release of the nationalists. And here was a woman who migrated to the United States with five children, and as soon as the young one was in first grade, she said, okay, fine, it's my turn now. She went to school to get her eighth grade diploma. She didn't stop. She graduated from the university. Against all odds, a society that was saying, oh, you have children, you have to stay home. And she says, no, I can get the help of my husband too. She was just a brave woman, a brave woman.
And you are brave women, and you're inspired and inspiring.
You have Doña Isabel Rosado, you have Carmen Perez, you have a multitude of women that were always present to move things. They're unsung heroes or unsung heroines. Not that we're excluding men, but bring out the fact that there is another part, which is a good time to mention that in Puerto Rico, the town that we live in Calle, there is a woman, a retired teacher, who made it almost like her path of bringing the faces of these unsung heroines. With the help of her husband, she's been able to go into the archives and find photos, and her passion is of portraits. Her exhibit is now in the town of Calle, and it is titled Mujeres Libertarias, Liberating Women, and she has already been able to paint or sketch the faces of over 40 some women. It's a tool wherever this exhibit is at, you know, is to knock on the doors of the schools, you know, the high schools and whatnot, and bring these youngsters to an exhibit at a community level.
Thank you for the years of righteous struggle behind the walls, in front of the barricades. And it's been an honor to speak with Alicia and Lucy Rodriguez. Totally.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Our Time Is Now, Que Vive Puerto Rico Libre.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.